What's up, Atlanta? Here we go. I don't even know how to start this one. Another heartbreaking loss. 23-20 to the division rival, four-time champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I am at a loss. I am despondent. I am looking for the appropriate words as we begin here in live from the Signia Hotel.
In Atlanta, sorry, had a bit of a headset issue here as I am hearing myself twice as our producer Slim is working on the issue right now. If you ever heard yourself drunk before, that's kind of what it sounds like. I am hearing myself. So we'll work through the issues, but kind of fitting, right? On a day where the Falcons had so much hope, so much going for them, and for most of the game, were in this one. They were alive until the bitter end. They were in it as long as you could possibly be. Younghoe Koo is not the answer. He unfortunately, at the end of the game, turned back into a pumpkin and missed a game-tying field goal. So that's where to start. You need to fix the issue. It's something that you can't have. You cannot have a kicker coming off of missing nine kicks to come back and have this performance in week one. It's just unacceptable. That's the bottom line. So 404-726-0929. Let's line them up. I got about an hour, and we're going to take as many calls as we can. 404-726-0929. The running game is the next issue. You can't run for 69 yards in a game and expect to win. And what was I saying all week long on 92.9 The Game? The Atlanta Falcons will have success if they run the ball to set up the play-action pass. And they couldn't do it. Time and time again, they were let down by their running game. I don't know if it was a combination of the line, the defensive line for Tampa, or just an all-around poor performance. Elijah Wilkinson, starting at right tackle, did his part for the most part. But then on one drive, he had two false start penalties. And he had a sack given up that killed the drive. And that's the game. You lose 23-20. You put yourself in a position to win the game. You were not able to follow through and finish. You were not able to be that team to overcome in ways that you couldn't under Arthur Smith and last year under Raheem. It's just more of the same. Now, were there positives? Of course. Hey, Kyle Pitts, for what it's worth, not bad. That's something to build on. That's a performance that you can hold your head high and say, hey, maybe we got some. Drake London, valiant effort, couldn't finish the game. Banged up. To what severity? We don't know. Raheem Morris, after the game, didn't have a full update. Okay, so we'll have to see. I thought Ray McLeod stepped up nice in the absence of Darnell Mooney. It was a situation where he couldn't go with the shoulder. And we'll see what happens in the weeks moving forward. But I'm just saying right now, there's a lot to be desired. A lot left on the table. There's a lot left that allows you to sit here and think what could have been. Another week, another year of what could have been. And that is the theme of the Atlanta Falcons for the last at least 5 or 6 years. And it's just a shame. It's just a shame that we kick off another season with an almost, with a what could have been, with a good try at a boy, maybe next time, but you don't get it done. How do you have 69 yards on the ground? That's supposed to be your bread and butter. That's supposed to be what gets you through to the other side, where then you can open up the playbook. Then you can take shots down the field. Then you can be a more progressive offense. Not the way they played today, folks. Not the way they played today. 404-726-0929. I'm here, guys. Let's talk. What needs to change? What did you like? What didn't you like? It's all on the table. We'll start with Mike in Jonesboro. Mike, you're on the flyover. Mike, go ahead.
Hello?
Mike, what's up? Yep.
Yeah, I just got a few words, man. Nothing much. Cut Cool, fire Raheem Morris, and get rid of Fun, no, because this ain't going nowhere, bro, and I'm out.
Yeah, Mike, I understand the overreaction. By the way, again, it is Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 7:30. This is the Falcons flyover here after the postgame each and every week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Again, apologize at the start of the show. We had some technical difficulties, worked through them, and now we are rocking and rolling here on the Falcons flyover. Listen, they're not going to fire Raheem Morris, Mike. We know that. They're not going to fire Terry Fontenot. We know that yet. If this is another full season like this, yes. I believe Fontenot, Raheem, everybody's on the table. Everybody's butt is on the line if you don't get results. You need results. And this game was one that you should have won. You should have won this game. Because despite all of those issues, you were in it until the bitter end. Despite 69 yards on the ground. Despite the offensive line shuddering at the worst possible moments, Elijah Wilkinson specifically. Despite Drake London not being able to be out there when you needed him most because of an injury. Despite everything that went wrong in this game, you were in it until the final second ticked off the clock. And that's where it starts. Young Weku, you can't have that season where you miss 9 kicks. Then you have an injury. Then you come back. And when the light shines the brightest, to quote our friend Carl Dukes, he withered. You have Lenny Krieg. He's stashed away. He showcased a big leg. There are other kickers around the league. I mean, I think the leash of trust for Raheem Morris that he exhibited to this point, it needs to be gone. I don't know how much more you could. He just cost you another game. He cost you several games last year, and he just cost you a chance to win this one. Because you would have gone into overtime, clean slate. Penix was rolling. He just scored the touchdown. Both offenses were humming. Probably would have came down to who got the ball first. Honestly, which defense would have had to do less work? I'm just saying. I think that this game should have been won. Should have been won. And to say that and have it not be won and to have it be lost in the fashion in which it was, it's just not acceptable anymore. Where's the standard? We talked all offseason about the standard, about what does Falcons football mean? What's the identity? Fast, physical. On defense, did you see those first two series? They were incredible on the defense. Then what happened? Why did you allow 2 touchdowns to the rookie Ibuka? Why'd you make him look like the second coming of Chris Godwin? Better. They didn't need Chris Godwin out there today. They had Ibuka. He was the best player on the field on offense today. Why? Why did you allow that? I thought that these were the things that we were going to fix in the offseason. Not allowing the big play on defense that broke your back against Minnesota and Denver and Carolina last year. And here we go. Not allowed again. 404-726-0929. Jordan's in Peachtree Corners. You're on the flyover. Jordan, go ahead.
You know, there's a certain feeling to a Falcons game that, you know, any Falcons fan probably knows. But, you know, Penix played his butt off. It's really frustrating that you got a young quarterback who, you know, put it out there, and the team just didn't do anything to address the kicking situation. That was a huge issue last year. And, you know, it would be great to set up, you know, easy points, put easy points on the board for this quarterback. You know, I think he's going to give it his all, you know, every game, but we could have had this one.
No, Jordan, you're 100% right, except for one thing. They did address the kicking situation in the offseason. You know, Lenny Creed got a multi-year contract, y'all? That's the sickest part about this whole thing. They didn't just sign him. They gave him a multi-year deal, okay? And right now he's stashed on the practice squad as the international player, the IP. And that's the most frustrating part about all about this. Koo, now let's be fair, Koo in preseason and in practice, from all accounts, did have the better preseason. And he did have the faith and backing of the Falcons front office. And listen, this shouldn't take into account anything, and I don't think it does, but it's just worth noting as well. Awesome individual, great teammate, loved by everybody, and does fantastic work in the community. Should that count if you're not an effective football player? No, it doesn't matter. That's great, but you got to produce results on the field. But I don't know. Was it worth giving him one more kick at the can, especially after proving in the preseason that he still has it? It's a tough call to say no and go with a completely unproven kicker in the NFL who has the tantalizing... It's like, you know, the pitcher that throws 100 miles an hour and you just give him the closer role because he throws hard. Does that mean he can get people out? I don't know. Does that mean that Lenny Creed can make clutch kicks when Younghoe Koo can't? I don't know. That's the problem. 404-726-0929. It is the Falcons flyover with Chris Thomas. Turtle taking you up until Sunday Night Football. We got a doozy for you coming up tonight. Scott's in Atlanta. Scott.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
What's up, Scott?
Hey. So, I guess the good news is we finally have a quarterback. Michael Penix balled out, and I think it's pretty obvious that he's the answer at quarterback. The bad part is I think today was a must-win game, and I knew that they weren't going to rattle Baker Mayfield. I mean, you got to give Baker Mayfield credit, but I think we saw that we're just not a great, well-coached team. The great teams win in close games. We're not a well-coached team, and I think today, I know they're not going to fire the coaching staff after one game. We might have to put up with this the whole season, but I don't see 10 wins, Chris, on the schedule. And there was talk about they had to get to the playoffs and they might have to win 10 to get into the playoffs. I don't see it. And I think today was the catalyst for what's going to be Raheem Morris's and Terry Fontenot's job, because I just don't see 10 wins on their schedule. But the good news is, I mean, I think the team can grow with Michael Penix if there is a silver lining. But as Atlanta Falcons fans, we just see a team that continually takes one step forward and about 20 steps back. You know, we're just not consistent, and I think that falls on the coaching staff. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Scott, it's a good call, and it's a good point. You know why? In my notes for the game that I wrote down, I highlighted this as well. It was in the, let's see, I think it was in the fourth quarter. No, it was in the third quarter. You know what happened again? The Falcons had to burn a timeout coming out of a TV stoppage because they couldn't get the play together. Guys, that can't happen. Do y'all remember that last year? That was one of the things that was highlighted that Raheem Morris needed to get together. And the fact that that happened again, now it was at an inconsequential point in the game, so it's not being highlighted, I think, as necessarily as it should. He did it again. The team wasn't ready to run an offensive play out of a TV timeout. I mean, how is that possible? And this was what plagued them all of last season. It was embarrassing. And to have that happen again is just a perfect highlight of what everyone's been saying on the phones. Like, this was the stuff that was supposed to be different. This was the stuff that was supposed to be changed. This was the stuff that was supposed to be the new 2025 Falcons with Michael Penix Jr., with Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr., who did very little, by the way. It's their first game of their professional career. I'm not going to waste too much time harping on it. I think they'll both be fine, and they'll both be productive players in the NFL. Xavier Watts did have a couple of nice plays, Billy Bowman as well. But the two guys that we brought in to be difference makers on the edge, they were nowhere to be found. I don't think I heard their name called once in between them. 404-726-0929. Jimmy's in Alpharetta. Jimmy. Jimmy, you're breaking up. Jimmy, give us a call back. You got a bad phone connection. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Special K in Covington. Go ahead.
What's happening, Turtle?
What's up, Special K? What do you got for me?
I'll tell you right now, I got three things. I got D. Offered, need to be cut. I got Young Waku, needs to be cut. And I didn't see enough downfield passing, you know, over 25-plus yards today. And no rushing, I mean, yards, one thing, but you can't run it right up the middle when you got that big man that's bigger than your center and your guard. So that's all I got to say today, brother.
Yeah, thanks, Special K. Listen, D. Alford's going to be a part of this mix. He'll be in the secondary rotation. Is he a key cog as much as he was last year? No, because this team got better in the secondary. So you hope that D. Alford doesn't have to do too many things that will screw up the defense. He's going to be a rotational guy that can play multiple spots in the secondary. Not my biggest concern of today. A couple of the other things you said, though, absolutely. I'm going to keep harping on this until we fix it. I don't know if that's going to be next week against Minnesota, who has a great defensive front. I don't know if it's going to be in week 3. I don't know if it's going to be in week 10. You have to run the ball effectively. Special K, you know why they couldn't take deep shots down the field as much as you wanted to? There was nothing there running the ball. The defense did not have to respect the run. That allows you to be free-flowing. That allows you to play multiple fronts. That allows you to take your secondary and make it amorphous and amoeba-like and allow different players to play different positions. You see that play that Winfield made on what would have been a touchdown? You know why he's able to make that play? Because he's not afraid of the run. Because he can play back there and ball hawk. That's why he's able to do that. This Falcons, and it's so disappointing too. Because we went into the season, that's their biggest strength, is running the ball. You have the two best back combo in the league, and you manage to muster 69 total yards. I mean, you should have more yards than that in a half, honestly, if we're being as critical as we need to be. That's just not okay. 404-726-0929. So good stuff there from Special K. Shep in Stone Mountain's up next. Shep, go ahead. You're on the Falcons flyover.
Turtle, what's going on, brother?
What's up, Shep?
Man, exciting game.
Yes.
Fans for life. But, brother, I had to just pace myself. Loved the first series. But I was like, nah, you know, they have a tendency to let me down. And there were three notes and takeaways that I had in there. Number one, 4th and 1, why are we not under center? I've just never understood handing the ball back 7 yards to get one.
They did it last year, too, Shep. They did it last
year,
too. You have Tyler Allgeier, who's one of the best North and South runners in the NFL, and you run a stretch play to Bijan Robinson. I don't get it.
Man, and then, Coach Steele frustrates me with his clock management. Spike the ball. You got the first down. Why would you burn your timeout? And I'm like, I promise you, every guy in the stand around my seat, if we see this, and I want to tell you one last thing and let me get off.
Yeah.
Man, put some grown man pants on. I'm tired of seeing that dude with the little, little stretch pants. Man, get some grown man pants on.
Well, Shep, you know what the problem is. And you know what's funny? And appreciate the call. We got to catch a quick break here. Shep's like the 10th person over the last couple of months to me, so it's not an insignificant number. And I guess when you lose And I guess Raheem's style choices come into play, that he wears his pants like capris. Listen, I could care less. Just win the damn game. That's the only thing I care about. But Falcons fans, I guess y'all notice when you're not getting the dubs. All right, when we get back, more of your calls. Let's go. 404-726-0929. A brutal, heartbreaking loss in week one. There was so much good to take away, but just so much bad and so much more of the same. Your calls are next. Plus, we'll go to the locker room with Dave Archer as he stopped by with some of the key players from today's action. We're recapping a week one brutal 23-20 loss. It is Chris Thomas, Turtle, with you on the Falcons flyover till 7:30 on 92.9 The Game. Falcons fall 23-20 in epic fashion, a game that comes down to the screws. Youngway Koo couldn't make a 40-plus yard field goal. He was 2-for-2 before that, but old issues crop up and are new once again as the Falcons need to reconsider their kicking situation ASAP. If he's not going to be clutch, then he's not good to your team. He's a great guy, great leader. I know the teammates love him, and I know he's great in the community, but that doesn't matter if you can't make kicks in the clutch and when they matter most. The other big talking points from this game, I thought Michael Penix was good. Listen, he was he great? No. He had some really impressive throws, especially that one across the entire length of the field, essentially, where he got the ball into the tightest window and you really saw the arm strength on display. He had some really good throws. He made some really good decisions. He made some bad decisions. Listen, did anyone out here think we were going to come in and see Michael Penix Jr. turned into the second coming of Joe Montana in his, you know, first start as a full-time starter in the National Football League? No, I don't think anybody thought that. But what I do think is we need to see enough from him to be able to have the confidence that we've all been talking about this offseason. And I think we did. Is this loss on Michael Penix Jr.? Absolutely not. Here's the problem. And I said this on Chris Thomas tonight on 92.9 The Game during the week. I said it over and over again because I thought it was that important. I said, if Michael Penix Jr. has more than 30 pass attempts in this game, that's not a good thing. And he finishes 27 of 42. He threw for almost 300 yards and a touchdown, and he ran for another one. But that's not the game plan, y'all. I know that's what looks sexy. I know. But that's not the game plan. The game plan is to run Rudolph, Bijan Robinson, and Tyler Allgeier to set up the deep threat. That's what needs to happen, and it was the opposite game plan. They were throwing just to be able to get the defense to account for the run just a little bit, just to allow for a crease here, a crease there. Allgeier averaged 2.4 yards a carry. Bijan just 2 yards a carry. And nobody else even saw a snap at running back. Bijan, by the way, did have an awesome night receiving. 6 catches for 100 yards and that big 50-yard touchdown. But again, that's not the formula for success. The formula for success is not give Bijan the rock out of the backfield 15 times and have him go for 100 yards. If that happens once in a while, great. That's nice. But it's not the formula. All right, back to your calls, 404-726-0929. Big O's in the A. Big O, what do you think?
Hey, what's going on, my man?
What's up, Big O? What do you think?
Hey, first of all, I want to say
the baby in the background says it all.
Hey, as you can hear, he's just as upset as I am, man. Look, yeah. We got 2 people need to be cut ASAP. But one of them I know can't go right now. But
who's
the other
that?
One, I'll come pick him up right now. I will
who's
come
that?
Pick up Youngway Koo right now.
Yeah.
I'm in East Atlanta. I will come pick up Youngway Koo right now and take him back.
I hear you.
He needs to be checked ASAP.
Who's the other one?
Everybody looked like they improved on both sides of the ball, even though it was a bad loss. It was mistakes everybody could have made different. But Youngway Koo looked the same way from last year. It's time to make a change. He already paid. Let him go.
Yeah, Big O, appreciate the phone call, man, and hope little man feels better as well. Even the youngsters in Falcons Nation are taking this one hard. Let's go to Philip in the A. Philip, what do you think?
Hey,
yeah. Go ahead, Philip. Nope, Philip's got a bad phone line. Appreciate you checking in, Philip. Give us a call back. We'll try to get you back involved. 404-726-0929. Now, let's be fair. Hey, what's going on? Who do I got here?
Hey, this is Philip.
Hey, Philip, what's up, man? We got you now loud and clear. Go ahead.
All right. I like to see Kulak go. I'm done with him. I don't have faith in Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris, but unfortunately, we just got to ride this out. But the same thing that we're doing, it's like we put our foot on the gas, and then we come out after we take control, and we're sputtering on offense after we put them in a bad position with what we were doing to them offensively. So I the thing I need to see is keep Kuh not be our kicker anymore. I'm done with that. That needs to change.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Philip, you're right. I mean, listen, Kuh, I think it's just over. It really is at this point, because you can't have the season you had last year and then come back and follow it up with this performance. Kickers have been changed out in this league for way less. Let's be honest. Let's be honest about that. And the thing about Ra, I am disappointed. I'm not going to lie. Because a lot of the same old issues reared their ugly heads again. Timeout mismanagement. Clock issues. Not taking a timeout when you needed to. Were they at critical junctures in the way that they were last year? No, and that's why I said that to open the show, and that's why they're not going to be highlighted as much. But you're damn sure I was taking them down in my game notes, because I knew that was something we needed to focus on. And you know what? What's going to happen next time? What if next week in prime time against the Vikings, you need to take a critical timeout, and he gaffs it again? How in the world can you have a situation again where you come back from a TV timeout and you can't get a playoff? It's unbelievable. That should never happen at the that shouldn't happen in high school. Never mind at the professional level. It's unbelievable. 404-726-0929. This is the Falcons Flyover with Chris Thomas Turtle, taking you up until 7:30 and Sunday night football here on 92.9 The Game. Chris is in Douglasville. Chris, go ahead.
What's going on, man? Hey, I agree with everything you said today. Everything cool, everything. But one thing, the coaches are making some bad decisions. I mean, here it is. You talked about the run. It's second and one, and we try to run Bijan up the middle. He was way enough. And then you come back third and one, and everybody knows what you're going to do since Algier, and they stack the line, and he gets stopped. And then here it is, fourth down, and they don't respect us. Our line is not strong enough. We're not silly. We don't have that line. And we go for it and don't make it. So these coaches and these bad decisions that they're making, they're hurting us. There's a fan who's sitting in this game that can cheer all day long on third down. And then Baker Mayfield runs for 15, runs for 10. And I'm like, what are these coaches not seeing that the fans, we sit there and we see it? I just don't understand it. We hadn't got a player that could get them fourth and one since C.J. Beckett. And it's bad, man. It's bad. It's stressful. I got to go take my blood pressure medicine. I can't take it.
Yeah, Chris, I appreciate it. Me too, brother. Me too. 404-726-0929. These were the things, y'all. These were the things in the offseason we were told were going to be cleaned up. Why are we running dive plays to the outside? Why? Why are we taking Bijan Robinson? And as one caller said perfectly, trying to run 6 yards to pick up one. Why are we running Algier up the middle at the exact wrong time? Why are we play calling like this on third and fourth down? It was awful. Penix just bailed you out time and time again by making ridiculous throws while the pocket was just collapsing underneath him. And by the way, on defense, you know how many sacks we had? One. You know how many sacks the Atlanta Falcons had? One. Now, to our credit, Tampa Bay only had one, too. But that's not what we're focused on. We're focused on our guys, right? Half a sack each for two players. That's it. That's it. 404-726-0929. That's what we're looking at. Where was Pierce? Where was Walker? Where was Leonard Floyd? Ebba Cady had a couple of nice plays, but he didn't have a sack. I mean, we know Caden Ellis is going to be out there balling. I don't know what happened to Caden Ellis today, too. I don't know if y'all saw this. He was slipping off people left and right. I don't know if he was taking bad angles to tackles or slippery gloves, but he should have had three or four more plays, and he just got spun around at the last second. Very uncharacteristic for Caden Ellis. Let's go to Taylor in Dallas. Taylor, go ahead.
Hey, I agree with you completely about the Caden Ellis and the defense thing. I wish that we would have done what we did more in the fourth quarter earlier in the game as far as putting pressure on Baker. But the whole stat line with Michael Penix, very big I do like. It reminds me of when Matt Ryan used to have all games. We kept that defense on the field the whole game. And then when we get in the red zone, it looked like the 2018 division playoff against the Eagles when we tried that little shuffle down, which was lost.
No, Taylor, listen, I appreciate the phone call, and I agree. Listen, you have to form your own identity, right? And what was this identity for the Atlanta Falcons? What was it supposed to be? Can I invoke an old cliche that might make a lot of us cringe in the audience? Fast and physical, man. Fast and physical. That's what this defense was supposed to be. And you know what it was today at the start? Fast and physical. By the end of the game, it was soft and getting exposed like it did last year and giving up chunk plays to Emeka Egbuka. He had two of them for touchdowns. I thought that was supposed to stop. I thought that was supposed to stop. But again, if you don't get pressure and you're letting Baker Mayfield run out of the pocket and scramble and look annoying and like you're saying to yourself, how does this dude do this? Getting 10, 15 yards at a clip. You look at Michael Penix and you're like, okay, he looks like an Adonis. He looks like he's got a rocket arm. You look at Baker Mayfield, I'm like, he just looks like a dude. He just looks like a dude playing at your local backyard football game. Why is he burning us like this? Because you can't get pressure. 404-726-0929. Allison's in the A. Allison, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing today?
Hey, Allison.
What I like Pennick's play. I like what he did.
Yep.
You know, that first drive, I was, like, excited because the play calling looked dynamic. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if Zach lost his playbook or if he didn't know what he wanted to do. After a while, it looked like he was just throwing spaghetti against the wall.
The offensive line
cannot move anything heavier than a box of cleaners, okay? I'm sorry, but that's just – you got third and one, and you mean to tell me that you can't push people forward?
Nope.
Something's wrong there. Also, I like what I saw from the defense early, and then all of a sudden, again, what happened to Olbrich? Did he lose his playbook too? Did he not know what his game plan was? Did he just start
Allison,
making stuff up?
Those first two drives, you saw those first two drives on defense? They looked like world champions. What happened?
Three and out. It was three and out. And
it was
I'm like,
great.
Okay, this looks okay. I'm happy about this. And it's just all, and then the special teams let us down. Especially on that punt return when
Chunk yardage. Yep, on every single special teams play. Great stuff, Allison. Appreciate the phone call. 404-726-0929. She's 100% right. Special teams outside of Bradley Pinion was a disaster today. Chunk plays. After one, after another, setting up Tampa in great field position almost every time. Pinion would get it down to the 10 and then they'd run it back to the 40. Every time. It just unacceptable. All right, one more before we catch a break. Great stuff from Allison. 404-726-0929. This is the Falcons Flyover. Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 7:30. I'll be with you each and every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Saturday. I guess they play kind of every day. Whenever the Falcons play, I'm hanging out with you after the Falcons post-game show here on 92.9 The Game. Ron's in Suwanee. Ron, go ahead.
Dude, I got to ask you. Why are you always negative about everything that we're doing? Yes, we should have won the game. There's no question. They played good enough to win. The dude missed a kick. But you're always so negative on...
Ron, he missed nine kicks last year. Ron, he missed nine kicks last year. And they gave him another shot, and that's what he did with it. What's positive?
I know, but it's just the first game. It's
Ron,
the first game of the season, dude.
Okay, but
you're just so negative.
No. No, Ron. Sorry,
buddy.
Give
him a chance.
Give him a chance for what?
He missed nine.
No, I got to let you go. I can't. 404-726-0929. He missed nine kicks last year, Ron. They gave him another chance to come back healthy. He won the job, and this is what he did with it. He crapped the bed in the biggest moment. Ron, you get 17 of these things a year. Come on, man. Don't tell me I'm being negative. I pointed out all the positives from this game. Come on. You lost the game because your kicker couldn't hit a routine field goal to tie it up and send you to overtime. You don't get a pass. This is the National Football League. This isn't, you know, hopscotch. I'm sorry, Ron. I'm going to come on here and I'm going to tell it like it is. Young Waiku does not deserve a pass. And unfortunately, he also does not deserve to be the kicker of the Atlanta Falcons anymore. That's just the harsh truth. We'll be back on the Falcons Flyover, 404-726-0929. We'll also take you into the locker room with Dave Archer as we wrap up the first edition of many of the Falcons Flyover here with Chris Thomas, Turtle on 92.9 The Game. Wrapping up an eventful but unfortunate week one here as the Atlanta Falcons fall to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by a final of 23-20. It is Chris Thomas, Turtle, with you for another few minutes here, taking your calls, 404-726-0929 on the Falcons flyover. Listen, y'all, it's a spirited discussion, but it's a necessary one. I just want to see this team be the best version of itself. And the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and again and expecting a different result. And that's what it felt like today for certain aspects of this game. Did they improve in certain areas? Yes. I thought Penix looked really good with his decision making. I thought Penix looked good and comfortable in the pocket, waiting in there until the last second. Clearly, he and Zach Robinson have been working on that and working on timing. I thought that looked really nice. I thought at times, the back end of the defense, you could see the potential. Watts made a couple of nice plays. Jesse Bates was doing his thing. But you have a couple of plays again that are just disaster chunk touchdown plays. Mike Hughes gets burned a couple of times. Where do we see that story again? Could we have upgraded? And then it just opens up the Pandora's box, right? Like, could we have upgraded at that position in the offseason? Should we have been comfortable with that? And then you're starting a rookie, Billy Bowman, who, ironically enough, did look pretty good at the nickel spot. And it just brings about all these same questions over and over and over again. Where was the pass rush? Two guys combined half a sack each, one on the game. Without, and guys, that's without Tristan Wirfs. And if you caught it before the game, they shuffled basically their entire offensive line to make up for what was presumed to be a much improved Falcons pass rush. And then the kicking situation, it is what it is, guys. 404-726-0929. Again, 23-20, your final. Just another disappointing way to start the Falcons season. I think I read 6 out of 7 years has been a loss in week one. It's just more of the same, and that's so unfortunate. Kobe's in Southwest Atlanta. Kobe.
Well, look like USA Today was right. Look like all the talking heads, all the so-called experts was right. No, the difference maker was brought here, Jeff Olbrich. Supposed to be a difference maker. Oh, okay, so what? We don't have the talent? We don't have the playmakers? Oh, okay, Terry Fondo. Okay, he go out and get the growth. What we do with it? Nothing. Nothing.
No,
and I know it's one game and everything like that, but Raheem the Dream still coming out of a freaking TV timeout and you make a call like that and everything. Well, Zach Robinson. What are he supposed to do? He's supposed to be a difference maker on the offensive side. This crap been going on for so long. Ever since I was growing up, back in the 90s and 80s, same thing. And off the blank, you know, we're going through a losing season again and everything. And he's a senior citizen. I mean, I don't know why he's sitting up there praising scouts in the offseason. Maybe you need to get another set of eyes off the blank. But it's only one game. But here we are. We should have, that game was ours.
Well, Kobe, to be fair, though, and I appreciate the phone call, good stuff, and love the passion. The Falcons were praised nearly universally for the offseason that they did have. So let's be fair. We can't do revisionist history. Were there some question marks like the one I just listed about cornerback two, who was going to play safety opposite Jesse Bates, defensive line, you're counting on a lot of rookies and second-year players to make a difference. By the way, Ruka Rororo with a really dumb penalty that gave Baker Mayfield a fresh set of downs further down the field, which led to the second Ibuka score. How about that? Brandon Dorlis, maybe there's a reason why he was listed as the starter on the depth chart ahead of Rook, which was a shocker, because you can't do stupid stuff like that. I know it wasn't egregious, but you got to have that governor. You got to have that signal that goes off in your brain. If you're a defender and you say, if I get too close to the quarterback in certain situations, I have to pull up unless there's literally nothing I can do about it and my momentum is just taking me into him. And that was not the case. So, Kobe, I agree. 404-726-0929. Get it on is in Dallas, Texas. What do you think, man?
What
you got, my toes?
What you got, man?
Hello, hello.
Yep, I got you, brother. What you got?
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm here with my granddaughter. Look here, man. The play calling is garbage, man. We had a good first series. They made adjustments. And then after that, our coaches, they don't know how to make adjustments, man. You know, defense is okay, but we've been playing Vita Vea how many years? Why ain't we drafted a big enough offensive lineman or got a package, man, to do something about this guy in the middle? You know, you're running our smallest back up the middle, man, you know, and then cool, it wasn't enough competition for him, man. You know, it's just so redundantly seen from the fans, man. It seems like the coaches are just blind in the eye, and they insulting our intelligence for one thing. Anyhow, man, you know, I'm tired of justifying my Falcons over here in Dallas, Texas, man.
No, it's tough. Get it on. I appreciate it. And say what's up to your granddaughter. We appreciate her checking in as well. A couple of kids making an appearance on the show tonight. Who would have thought the youngster Falcons fans are going through it as well? Let's finish up with Gabe in East Atlanta. Gabe, what's up? You're in the Falcons flyover.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Gabe?
You know,
just lower your radio. Gabe, just lower your radio for me. Gabe, just lower your radio for me.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Yep, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I know you said you don't want to, like, repeat revisionist history, but, like, 2016 Super Bowl year, we opened up with Tampa at home, and we lost a game that was very winnable. We started hot, and then we lost the game. And if you look at those stats, they look eerily similar. Like, Matt Ryan had, like 300 yards, two touchdowns, and he ran for, like, 30 yards. But he had, like, 39 completions. And our biggest receiver that game was Tevin Coleman with 95 yards. Who was our biggest receiver for this game?
Bijan Robinson. No,
exactly.
Listen, you're not getting it. I appreciate the phone call. Good job closing us out here. Appreciate everybody who checked in on the inaugural edition of the Falcons Flyover for 2025. Hopefully, when I come to you late night next Sunday, we'll be having a lot more positives to talk about than this one. But you can't draw parallels, right? Every season's a new season. Although we do it with the negatives, but this is something where you're drawing from recent history. I don't think it's fair to go back and draw from 2016 and compare it, you know, 9 years later to 2025. Although, listen, at this point, I'm only half kidding when I say any optimism is welcome optimism at this point. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Falcons Flyover. Appreciate everybody that checked in. Again, we'll be doing this all season long. I'm here with you, win or lose. Appreciate producer Eric Slaughter. We'll have Garrett Chapman along the way as well throughout the season. Listen, guys, it is what it is. A tough loss to start the season, but there were positives. Hopefully Drake London's going to be okay, and we'll make the most of what was a bad situation to start the year. I'll catch you guys next Sunday after primetime versus Minnesota. Hopefully the Falcons make it to 1-1. You've been listening to the Falcons Flyover on 92.9 The Game.